Man, DoubleMySpeed.com.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a fabulous start to your week. Here we are, hump day. It's been a wild one, both in and outside of the nation's capital. Big story about the plot to take out the Saudi ambassador to the United States. And, of course, Iran behind this, two Iranian men, one who was a naturalized citizen in the United States and carried, I think, dual citizenship. The other one disappeared. He's been charged. He's in prison. The other one disappeared, they believe, back in his home country. And Ahmadinejad, the little midget with the big roar, who runs Iran, the president of Iran, says that this is just a fabrication by the United States, a very crazy, convoluted plot that ultimately would have had a drug cartel hitman, if you will, take out the ambassador so there would be no trail back to the men from Iran. Act of war. Time to lay down the law, so to speak, when it comes to that country and stop being bullied, because these sanctions, these economic sanctions, I don't think are working. So how far do you go? Do you drop a few bombs? Do you rattle Iran's cage finally in a very real way? Or do we continue to sit in the background? I mean, this is a serious threat, I think, at this point now, knowing there would have been collateral damage, I'm sure, of it in the United States. I mean, regardless, an assassination attempt of an ambassador in our country that goes up, they believe, through the highest levels in Iran anyway. I think it has to be about more than conversation. And if I'm Saudi Arabia, I'm concerned. If I'm King Abdullah, I am absolutely burning up the phone line to the United States. And I am hoping that I want something to happen. I might as well shake up the sand in that direction, since if you look at several of the other countries there and what's happened, why not go for the big one at this point? Why not do it? I think it's about time to make some noise, to make a play, instead of sitting in the background. And there are a lot of people in D.C., with the power, who were saying the same thing. Congressman Pete King. Act of war. If they had taken the Saudi ambassador out, it would have been an act of war. I think they're just slow playing the United States and the Saudis. I do. Sadly, earlier in the day, in California, big shakeup in a sleepy, beautiful little beach town in Southern California, where they had one murder last year, and before that they had 3 years of no murders. Now eight people dead as a result of a man running into a salon and shooting. One person is still in critical condition, I think, at this point. Before I went on the air, I checked that. And this, we're talking about Seal Beach. Stuff like that doesn't happen to Seal Beach. They leave their doors unlocked. It is a very friendly, sleepy, as I said, community. And now their little bubble is shattered by what's happened. Here's Sergeant Steve Bowles summing up in a couple of different ways what details he knew at that point.
Our officers arrived on scene and found 9 critically injured parties. It appears that 2 of the 3 that were transported to our local hospital have died of their injuries, have succumbed to their injuries here at the salon. The suspect was taken into custody within a half a mile of this location, and we do believe he is the only suspect at this time, so he is in custody. We do not know the make and the model of the weapon used, nor do we know the motive at this point.
All right, so he is in custody. They're trying to get information out of him. What's been said is that he was the husband of somebody who worked there. She wasn't there at the time. The salon was very, very busy because it was midday. So all the stations had people there. What a horrible thing to happen. The salon was called Salon Meritage. And this is a place where, like I said, you don't really see these kind of things. You don't really see this. You have to think, what is this? Some crime of passion? What led to him doing that? What led to him doing that? I mean, no deaths in this community at all. So you know there's a link. It's a question of what that link is, but it doesn't bring back the people that were killed. It doesn't do anything for their families. Even if they say, well, he was unhinged, he was upset with his wife, he was whatever, yada, yada. It doesn't matter. What about the victims and the victims' families? You know, what about them? Here's the one good thing about this. I mean, there's nothing good about this, but the one thing is he didn't take himself out. They got him. So they have this guy in custody. Then he can fry. They can try him. They can slap him away, whatever. But they got him. Instead of the chicken way out, where everybody's slaughtered and then they blow themselves up. He didn't do that. They got him. They got him. So I guess the families at least will have that. At least they'll have that. All right, let's go to Jeff in Oregon quickly. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Kate, what do you think of the NFL prices for the tickets? I was planning to go to Thanksgiving Day in Detroit.
You know what? It depends on where you sit. And Detroit, they're so hot right now, those tickets are going to be hot to get. If you go to ticket exchanges like StubHub and whatnot, you can sometimes get a good deal. But it's going to run you, maybe $60, $80 a piece if they're nosebleed seats. The closer you get to the field, of course, much more expensive.
Yeah, it's like $600
right.
For a seat.
Yeah, for a close one.
Yeah. I was just wondering what you think about all this.
Oh,
the
I
NFL
think
NFL should have left it.
Left cheap ticket prices. Yeah. Well, here's what the problem is, Jeff. The problem is the everyday man gets priced out of it, and you have corporate boxes. So if you work for a company where they have tickets and they give you tickets, it's great. Or you have friends that have tickets. Or you have a ton of money and you can afford those kind of prices, but that's what happens. You know, that's why they say baseball is so much more family friendly, because you can still afford it. There's enough games, they have enough deals that you can still afford at least a few games to go to. You can get tickets, you can go and, at some point in the season. But of course now if you're talking about playoffs, that's different. But yeah, I think the NFL ticket prices, I don't know how people afford it. Yeah. It's crazy. I hope you get to go, though. I hope you, have fun with that. We're up against it. You get to go to that game in Detroit. That would be a lot of fun. You mentioned that before when you called in. And since he brought up the NFL, don't forget, coming up in our next show, in our third hour, we have Nail the Score. Randomly, our computer picks the game of the week. All you have to do is tell us who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be, and you could win some fabulous prizes. Coming up in a few minutes, Harry Rinker. Do you collect things? Civil War guns? I don't know. Old bottles? Beer cans? Photographs? He can tell you what it's worth. That's next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Question. When the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer. Yes. If you have top quality survival gear from thesurvivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. Thesurvivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour, and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with thesurvivalzone.com.
A couple times a month, we go to my pal, Harry Rinker. He is the guru of all things collectible, and I invite you, please, to call in with things that you want to know about your stuff. He's the guy. I mean, he is the brain trust. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. It's key to know when to toss something, when you might have something valuable. You know, all these people are doing these estate sales. You know, or whether you could sell it for maybe a song, but at least you get something for it. It's interesting business, without a doubt. Harry, how are you?
Hey, I'm selling my Yankees and Phillies memorabilia cheap.
You are, really? Are you being funny?
I said, funny, Kate? I ask you.
No, I'm surprised you're parting with it.
Well, actually, I actually have to part with some of my stuff because I've got 35,000 objects back in Pennsylvania that can't find their way to Michigan.
Oh, so what are you doing? How do you do that?
Well,
do you do it through different means?
Well, first of all, you know, I wrote a book called Sell, Keep, or Toss, How to Downsize a Home, Settle Estate, and Appraise Personal Property. And the answer is I'm going to have to put a lot of it into practice. There will be some big auctions, probably the way I'll get rid of most of the stuff. I am doing some private sales of some of the individual collections. I'm working on that, and making some progress. There will be a number of auctions. There will probably be a yard sale or two, and I'm not so sure there won't be a dumpster. I try not to do that, but I've got to finally bite the bullet. And actually there are going to be some donations. I'm perfectly content at this point to send off some of the material I have to museums and other places that may be interested in it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you're right. You just sometimes you have to toss things, and it's hard to do that, though.
Well, the house in Michigan is full. In fact, it's so full we still don't have a lot of our boxes unpacked. And this is the great difficulty with any move, and you know this is why Storage Wars does so well in the tube. in spite of the economy and everything else, we remain a nation of accumulators. I don't think there's any doubt about that, that we accumulate far more than we need in this country. At least some people do. And, you know, there just comes a time when you have to do it. The other thing is I've reached the big 7-0.
Oh, you're kidding. You don't look a day over 58.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And, of course, the picture on my website is when I was 55, so it's okay.
Yeah,
you may have noticed that radio personalities and star personalities and others, their web pictures and their back cover book jacket pictures and so forth tend to always seem a tad younger than what they really are.
That's funny. So I love that. Nation of Accumulators, and happy birthday, belated birthday, too. 70 is a good age.
It is. You know what? It's very different. I'm very active. My accountants pressured me last year to say, well, you've got to stop this. We have to plan for your retirement. You have to set a year when you retire. And I said, okay, 85. They said, that's fine. You know, we'll plan for you to retire at 85. So I have 15 working years left.
All right. I love that. What's hot? I always ask you this question because people want me to ask you this question. What today seems to be the hottest thing in October going? What are people looking for?
That's probably a more difficult question to ask than ever right now, because the antiques and collectible business thrives on discretionary income. You know, we sell objects people don't need to in order to live. And as a result, we need them to have discretionary income to come into the market and buy stuff. And, of course, then conversely to that, to create hot collecting categories. And right now, I'm not sure how to answer your question. And the reason is that, you know, we don't have people coming into the marketplace right now. I mean, we have people coming in and buying things. First of all, the high end of the market is fine. The real expensive stuff continues to sell very well. It's the middle and low end stuff. As we talked about in previous shows, probably the two biggest areas of stuff that's selling well, which is kind of an endless answer to your question, is first of all, things that you can use around the house to decorate. Conversation pieces, the odds and end piece that you would put on the table. The problem with that is that people buy that one thing and they don't go buy a second, third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth thing of that to collect it. The other area that's doing real well in my field is reusable stuff. I've never seen the prices lower. Every time I think this market can't go lower, it does. And so if we could just get the young people who just seem to be more interested in buying new than buying used, the used market right now, especially the antique collector sector, is cheaper than ever. Prices are down. I've been to two antique shows since I've seen you last. I did a big appraisal clinic over in Harmony, New Jersey at the Warren County Antiques Fair and Festival. I have never seen prices like this since the 1970s. I mean,
wow.
We're going back 40 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. We've got a call. We have Carlisle, I think it is, or Carly in Minnesota. Hello.
Hey, hi, Carly. What you got?
Oh, yeah, my name is actually Carlisle.
Yeah, hi, Carlisle. What you got, buddy?
I've got an autographed picture of Don Rickles, and I don't know, Mr. Brinker, if you might happen to be Jewish, but it was given to me by a friend of mine I inherited it from a man that died that was a Jewish man.
Well, the big difficulty with star photographs of any type is unless...
Are you Jewish, may I ask? Are you Jewish?
No, of course not. No, I'm not. But I know who Don Rickles is, obviously, and the thing with any kind of star photograph like the one that you have is that unless you were the person that stand there and watched them sign it, the people are going to question how authentic that signature is. Now, you don't have a lot of people going around forging Don Rickles' signatures, so assuming it's signed and it's not printed as part of the photograph, there's a good possibility that the Don Rickles picture is okay. And Rickles signed a lot of stuff. Value is probably not much more than $25, $35. There are just not that many people who care about that. When you're collecting photographs or autographs, autographs have kind of like a tiering system where a clip signature, a signature on a pad of paper or a napkin or a playbill or something like that, is at the lowest end of the rung, and about halfway up the rung are signed black and white or color photographs. I mean, the highest up the rung is a personal letter, completely handwritten and signed by the person. And there, you can say, the difficulty, again, is that there has to be desirability. There have to be people that want it. There would be some fascination with a Rickles thing, but that's about it.
All right, thanks for the call. We're going to let you go. Thanks for the call. He was trailing off there. But you made your point. That was good about the photographs because
I just got a note from a person that said they had a playbill, an Annie playbill, 1977 Annie playbill signed by Michael Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Annie did premiere in April of 1970. And the guy asked me, how can I authenticate this, which is really the first question you have to ask for all autographs. How do I know it's okay? And so I said, well, you know, Annie did open in 1977, so that's a good sign. Michael Jackson would have been about 18 or 19 in 1977. He was with the Jackson 5, doing some solo work on his own. He was never an Annie. So, you know, here it is. In order for that playbill to have been signed, either Michael Jackson had to be attending a performance of Annie, or he had to be singing or doing something in a venue in New York at that time. So, unfortunately, the person didn't give me the date of the playbill. So what has to happen is, person has to take that date of the Annie playbill and then go to the New York newspapers or something and prove at least Michael Jackson was in town. And that's just the first step. It still doesn't mean anybody could assign Michael Jackson's name to the playbill. Unfortunately, the playbill is not in the hands of the person who first acquired it, so the information of how it got signed is lost. Well, now you get to the whole case of authentication, and authentication is all people's opinion. And there is so much fights going on inside the autograph world at the moment about who is an authenticator, who is a good one, who is valid, who is there. Some people say all you got to do is offer money and they'll give you a certificate of authenticity. I mean, certificate of authenticity have lost all their value in terms of credibility in my business. You have to be real careful. You buy an autograph business, comes with a certificate of authenticity. Don't believe that for a minute.
Yeah, I agree with you. Good note to end on. Harry, we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Good luck with your stuff. And
take care, kiddo.
Yeah, you too. And happy 70th. He does not look like he is 70 years old, I'm telling you that. Harry Rinker, the guru of collectibles. He'll be back in 2 weeks. Remember it. Write it down so you can ask your questions. We're checking the mail next.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WISEFoodStorage.com. WISEFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Remind everyone, don't forget about our straw poll here on the show. 3 weeks we've been doing it. This is our final week, and the numbers are flying in. Still most for Herman Cain and Ron Paul, but now Mitt Romney is picking up a little bit of steam, too. We're going to get to those in our next segment, and you can weigh in. Just send us that email at americatonight.net. Speaking of emails, let's head to the mailbag.
DeVille is here!
Ooh!
Thank you, Homer. Okay, the first one up is this. It's interesting, and I'm glad this was pointed out to me. I think of the guys like Jay in Kentucky running his routes and some of the others that are truckers that call us across this, great American highway, many highways looped together from the east to the south, etc. And I used to say this, I'm the granddaughter of a trucker, and he had some great stories, my grandfather, to tell me. He ended up working for Owens Corning and moved his way up then to the executive level. But he was a trucker, and he saw the country, and like I said, I have so much respect for truckers. He had such cool stories, I'm telling you. So, having said that, the National Transportation Safety Board is advising states to ban the use of cell phones by commercial drivers, even those with hands-free. They say this comes after an investigation into a brutal crash in Kentucky, in Munfordville, Kentucky. A tractor-trailer, some of you listening to us kind of in that area would know, drove across a median and hit a 15-passenger van, killed 11 people, including two kids. They say the probable cause for the crash was that the truck driver was distracted while he was using his mobile phone, which had just dropped a call. So this is the interesting thing. No state has an outright ban, we all know this, right, on mobile phones, you know, the use of it by all drivers. The NTSB is saying that states adopt laws that would just prohibit the use of anything, handheld devices by commercial drivers, even if they have a handheld attachment, a hands-free attachment, rather. So you get it. They're saying, no, no cell phones. You can't do it. We're not going to do it. And this also comes out after a recent study from the Texas Transportation Institute that said that reading or writing a text message behind the wheel can do more than double a driver's, you know, hurt a double a driver's reaction time. Do you guys think that? Is it safe to think that the results might be similar for drivers trying to dial a telephone number, that it could have fatal consequences? Now, handhelds, if you're concentrating, I mean, if you're just driving, I don't agree with the whole hands-free thing, not handheld, the hands-free thing. And texting while driving is banned in 34 states. So, you know, this has been a tug of war over texting and the cell phone and all that stuff. You know what? There's been a back and forth over this. Here's the thing. How much can you micromanage the behavior of adults? How much can you do that? How much do you think the government should do that? Now, it's weird because as I'm saying that, nobody gets more fumed by distracted drivers but I see everything. It's not just cell phones. They're eating pizzas, meaning that it's hot and it's dripping and they turn the wheel, or they're putting on makeup, reading the paper. I've seen several times people reading the paper when they're driving. How do you read the paper when you're driving? And naturally, cell phones, constantly with the cell phones, I've seen that. And texting, I don't know. I've seen people on cell phones trying to hold them to their ears, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, here's the thing. How many great drivers are there around us anyway? I'll tell you what you have to be. Not to be so cynical, but I'll tell you what you have to be. You have to be a great defensive driver. That's what you have to be. Because anymore, it is. It's a battlefield out there with people cutting across lanes and everything else. But trying to enforce some of those laws, and I agree, at what point is it too much? At what point are you finagling, fishing around in people's lives where it's like, you know what, at some point you got to take responsibility for yourself. Now, I'll tell you one place where I would say not using the cell phone unless they're stopped would be these bus drivers. If there's problems with bus drivers, they're picking up kids and they're taking them from point A to B and C and everything else. My recommendation there would be, if I was a school, I wouldn't want my bus drivers talking on the phone the whole time, especially because they have, you know, certain routes they're running and then they're done and then they're back again later and all that stuff. I mean, for goodness sake, unless there was some accident or something happened, why couldn't they just do that in between? And have one if in case there was some kind of emergency. All right, we're not going to solve that riddle right now. So let's move to another one. This one comes to us from Ken in California, who says, did you hear the story about the beauty parlor, he calls it, shooting? And, of course, we did. The 8 people that are dead, they think it's domestic violence. That's what it was. They got the guy. That's the good news there. But it's very, very sad news for the families of the people who were killed. You just never know what life's going to deal you. So you're in this very intimate beach town. You're going to get your hair done or your nails done or whatever it is, and then you don't come home. So there were some people that were mothers that were in that salon, grandmothers, whatever, and that's it. Their number's up, all because this nut, for whatever set him off, domestic dispute, whatever, he went in and he opened fire. Luckily, he's in custody. he's in custody. So, you know, we've talked about this before. Do you feel some sort of justice if you're the family of the people who were killed because, you know, he'll go on trial and all that stuff? I mean, nothing's going to bring them back. There's going to be a hole in everybody's heart that lost someone in this crazy thing, in this melee. And all because he blew his top over something with his wife? Yeah. The domestic disputes are the most dangerous. You talk to any police officers, they don't want to respond to, I mean, they do, but it's the worst thing they respond to. The tempers are flared, there's weapons, and this was one of those things where this very sedate beach area, he got into his truck, drove to the salon, and started to shoot. Then he drove away. He was stopped by the police. He just surrendered, and that was it. And they said, yeah, no, we feel pretty confident we have the guy. He just surrendered. And the motive, that he had some kind of a relationship with somebody in the salon, that's the assumption anyway, that he was targeting his ex-wife. There you go. And that there was some kind of a custody dispute, maybe, behind the shootings. That might have been what it was. You just can't, there's no words for this. There's no words for it. They thought that he had armor on, like he had a bulletproof vest or something. And that then when they arrested him, he had some kind of armor on, and then maybe they put the bulletproof vest on him after that. I don't know. But they got him. That's what it looks like it is. Not any definites, but it's looking like it is. So you had six people that were just scattered in the salon that were dead. And there were people that were wounded. There was one guy that was outside the building wounded. So probably he was trying to run. And it looked like all the people were trying to run. The owner of the salon was killed. There was somebody else who locked themselves in a back room, and they got out unharmed. There was another man that locked himself in a bathroom. He was shot, but he was wounded, not killed. So imagine that. You're just in there, and you're scrambling to take cover, and you hear that pop of the gun, and he comes in and he's shooting. Oof. I know that there's going to be some wild tale behind this when all of this comes out, you know, and it sounds like it's this domestic thing. So then what this also becomes is the secondary part of this. It becomes the argument about guns and gun control and all that stuff. And you know what? California has the toughest laws in the U.S., toughest laws in the U.S., and look what's happened here. Where other states are relaxing gun laws, now you have this. This just proves the other theory, I think. So crime rates have gone down since the Supreme Court ruled that people are allowed to own guns in Chicago and D.C. and in California. The governor just even signed another tough gun thing. And you've got these, you know, you have situations like this. But I think you could weave this into several different things. Although, if somebody in the salon had carried a gun, you could make the argument, boom, they take them out. They level them. They take them out. And that's that. And you don't have all those people that were killed. Really, really rough thing to happen to that area. Thanks for those emails. Each and every day we get a bunch of different emails on all kinds of subjects. A lot of it has to do with things that unfolded in the news, just asking for my thoughts on it. Or a lot of you also are emailing who you would vote for president. So coming up on the flip side, we're going to update the totals of our straw polls. Stay with us.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. or human growth hormone support, menopause specialist for women, and joint specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought a woman with me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Why don't want this? Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Thing that we're checking our numbers for our official, unofficial straw poll. Oh, yeah, a lot of you still going for Herman Cain. Herman Cain gets the votes. He is having a good month everywhere. And he's not a career politician. In fact, he was never a politician. That's part of his charm for some people. Others don't buy some of his economic prowess and don't like the idea of across the board 999, don't like the idea of the sales tax and the income and straight across. And that's just one of the things that he's thrown out there. However, they still like Herman Cain compared to some of the other people, some of the other choices, let's say. So Herman Cain, for this audience, I just got a whole bunch more, because you know it's the last week. We only have a couple more days. Herman Cain is up to 86 votes. 86 votes. Ellen was the last person to weigh in, and she says, Herman Cain definitely gets my votes. Why, Kate? Because I really do believe that he is plain spoken. I don't think it's an act. I think it's real. And he was a good, successful businessman. I think he could run the country. I'd rather try a business person this time around, no matter what anyone says, instead of a lawyer. I'm sick of lawyers and career politicians. Well said, Ellen, in a way, because it's true. So many lawyers have occupied the White House. We move to the Ron Paul votes, and Ron Paul has, believe it or not, 83. Ron Paul has very loyal people. I say that all the time because that's what I think. When I think of Ron, you know what? That's it. When I think of Ron Paul, the word, when they say, just come up with one word, loyal. I mean, he has loyal throngs of people that follow him around. So 83 for Ron Paul. He also is, he's a politician. He's a congressman from Texas. But he is, I think, plain spoken, so much so that he was labeled a nut, out of his mind, off the rails, whatever, years ago. But he's not. He was talking about the Federal Reserve and where we were headed, and he was dead on right with the monetary policies crumbling around us. So good for Ron Paul. He was ahead of everyone else. Romney now is up to 42, but see, that's half. 42 for Romney. If we go further down on the straw poll, we have Perry, and I mean further down. Perry's got 30, and we go to Michelle Bachmann, and Michelle Bachmann is up to 15 now. Wow. So she curiously hangs in. And that was it. That's all that you've voted for so far, and I'm talking just America Tonight listeners. We started the straw poll, for fun, because all these states are having them, and it's unofficial, however many people are there, and who decides to vote in the poll, and all that stuff. And we decided it'd be fun to do it, so that's how we rolled it out a couple of weeks ago. Let's take a few. Let's go to Bob in Ohio. Hello, Bob in Ohio.
Thank you for taking my call. You were speaking a few moments ago about people who are using their cell phones while driving. I wanted to tell you about an encounter which I had with one of these people just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in a little bit of hot water over it now.
Mm.
There was a woman who was driving extremely irresponsibly with the cell phone up to her ear. It looked like she was texting actually while driving. I followed this woman to a coffee shop. And so I sat outside, and as she came out of the store, I slapped that phone out of her hand, and her phone fell to the ground. I was charged with an assault for this reason. And now my attorney is telling me that on top of that, the prosecutor is considering charging me with some sort of racial hate crime because this woman happened to be a Negro. I had called her a baboon.
Uh-oh. Name-calling, right. Bob. We have to let you slide. Bob. Oh, I'm not even sure if his story washes with me. He was made. Were you making that up, Bob? All right, let's move to Jeff in Missouri. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, long time no hear.
Hey, what's going on in your world, buddy?
Cardinals are whipping the Brewers' butt.
I know, they're 2-1. 2-1.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to comment about the Iran plot.
Yeah.
If everything plays out, I don't think Obama has a choice, but there would have to be some kind of response. Sanctions are just not going to do it this time.
So, I don't think sanctions are going to do it either. I think that you have to pull the trigger, so to speak. It, you know, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it, but something has to be done. Do you trust Iran with nukes? And look what the plot, I think, goes all the way up to the higher ranks, and what were they willing to do?
Yeah, and they said this would have killed possibly congressmen and women, too, if it happened.
Oh, who knows? Yeah, who knows? He could have been in that direction, or who knows who he would be dining with if they had waited for the restaurant and done a bomb? I mean, you don't know.
Yeah, and then know that this was fried when Obama was president, not when Bush or Reagan was.
Any kind of an assassination? Well, but they had plots that they foiled, too, on their watches. I mean, I don't know that you can pin it so much on that, I think. But it is interesting, but if you wanted to twist it down that road.
And I'm starting to hear whispers from some of my friends who are liberals that starting to think this may not be real either. Like another staged plot.
Right, that the plot wasn't real, that it was easy to trot it out. You know, that there is a conspiracy theory flying around about that. Hey, Jeff, you take care. Go Cardinals.
I got one more thing if I can.
Okay, go ahead.
Looking back at this plot and then the hikers, maybe they were some kind of intelligent gatherers. Looking back on this now.
Really? You think that? I don't think so. I don't think those kids were. I don't think the kids that fell into that territory were. But there is a thread that among some people where they think that this was another setup, or they think it was a setup. I don't think it was a setup. It doesn't feel like it. My sources that I talked to are pretty right on about this stuff. I don't think so. It doesn't necessarily. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me, really, honestly, if you think and you try to connect the dots and think of the people that you have to pull in on this. You know, the one guy I trust of all the people that are out there in the spy game, if you will, or trying to stop sleeper cells in the United States and track down all kinds of people that might pull the trigger, so to speak, on a couple of terror things. Remember the plot to blow up the car in Times Square, and of course Abdullah Muttalib, the guy who 2 years ago tried to blow up the plane in Detroit, is now on trial and saying that the reason he did that was to, for all Muslims far and wide, and proving a point trying to do that. And I think in this case, the unraveling of it, the drug war along the Mexican border, all that sort of stuff, and the FBI director is the guy I was getting to, Robert Mueller. I think this cat is real, and he's been through a couple of different administrations. I don't see him being complicit in any kind of a let's throw that out there smokescreen thing because here's what we want to do ultimately. I'm absolutely not buying that. So I think that it's true. I think that this informant met with this guy with a man named Mansour Avisari, and he's a naturalized U.S. citizen, but he also had an Iranian passport, and that was what was going to happen. He was trying to set that up. He thought he was meeting with a drug cartel guy who was known for violent things and was asking about explosives and an attack on the Saudi embassy and all that sort of stuff. So, I'm buying it. I think they need to do something to Iran. When I say I think they need to do something, I think we need to stop pussyfooting around the whole problem and we need to take action. I mean, we can't keep ignoring what's happening. It's like you're sitting on the beach and there's someone annoying sitting next to you. They have a small child who seems really cute, but yet they're throwing piles of sand at you and the mother does nothing. And you sit there and the sand is pelting you, then it's pelting you. But you think, it's just a kid, I'm just gonna ignore it. And before you know it, you're practically buried in the sand. I mean, we're being buried by Ahmadinejad. And we're letting him do it. And he's like a spoiled child. We cannot continue to go down this path, or disaster awaits us.